Saturday morning. Time to start that Saturday morning routine. And what's a Saturday morning without... Well, yeah, that too. But you also gotta have... About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by
Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online carolinafoundationsolutions.com.
Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Another Saturday right here on About Your House. I feel a little brain dead today. Been a busy week, but it's a great week. Beautiful autumn weather. Winter's on us now. Right now, 34 degrees. Got down to 31 last night. That's below freezing if you don't know. Wow. Pretty fall weather, though. And, you know, it's a great time of the year in the big Queen City. The colors, oh my gosh, the autumn colors last Saturday was absolutely gorgeous. They still are. Didn't have a lot of rain this week. A shower or two did come through, but it's kind of splotchy. But today, you're looking for a high of 56 degrees, tomorrow 62. Beautiful autumn weather, dipping down into the 20s next week. Yeah, you know, so hey. Winter's coming on us, folks. If you hadn't got that furnace and heat situation checked out, I would highly recommend you do so. You're going to be cold. Yep, the nip is in the air. Good morning, Mr. Darren Gardner. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Ray. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. Had a great week. Got a lot done. Seems like I can't get everything done. It's kind of hectic. You don't know what's coming in and what's going. I'm having to shift schedules. If you're looking to do a project, I'm going to tell you, you got to plan things a little crazy. We talk a lot about it, you know, but, you know, we just, things aren't the same as they used to be. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those days. You still working with CMS in the audiovisual?
Yes, I actually got to do some work this afternoon at a school called Northwestern School of Arts.
Oh, yeah.
We're filming a concert today.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Are you enjoying that?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming in here on Saturdays. Hacksaw and you are. Matter of fact, today, folks, we're going to be streaming a little bit on Facebook and playing. I told you we're going to get there, and I do mean it now. Hacksaw's got it on his agenda to get us up and running on social media. I look forward to that. And, you know, the future's looking great for About Your House Radio. And Put Tools in Schools, developing some momentum on Put Tools in Schools, showing more career pathways, purpose-filled careers for not only students, but, you know, I saw an article on the internet just this morning. Got up at 5:30 this morning, beat the alarm clock. Of course, typically I don't need an alarm clock. I just kind of wake up when I'm supposed to. But it was about a trend or a big movement right now where people are just leaving their jobs. They're fed up. They're fed up with, well, they're fed up with mandates on the jab shot and all that, being forced to. But not only that, the pandemic and the lockdowns and all the shift in our cultural everyday activities have changed so dramatically in the past 18, 24 months that people are kind of fed up. You know, they were forced to stay at home, you know, to work on their computers and what have you at home, and did a great job. Some got more done at home than they got done in the office. And now, you can get your microphone. You can come over here looking like a little rabbit or something, going to bite you. But, you know, some people's habits have changed and found out they like staying at home and doing their work. They could get more done. And now they're demanding you get back in the office for morale and what have you. Make up your damn mind. You know, the job, the thing is, get the job done, whatever the task may be. But, you know, the bottom line is.
Well, the one thing I learned during the whole pandemic was how companies literally just started cutting corners and was like, oh, you're going to do more work. Am I getting paid more? No, you're actually getting a pay cut. And it's like, well, you know.
And that right there is a
reason. How do I stay motivated?
And that right there is a reason people are changing their thoughts.
And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing because you don't know what you have until, like, it's like, wow, they really don't care about me. Well, I should go to a place that does care about me.
Well, it's like I told you with Intercom last year when we left. I said, we're going to find out how much they love us. They didn't love us too much.
They didn't love us.
They didn't love me. Man, I'm not going to chase love, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not chasing your friendship. I'm not going to chase your likeness. I'm not going to do that. You know, we're going to work together or we're not going to work.
Yep.
You know, I know people are waking up. And you're about damn time because, I mean, really, come on. You know, you can't, the job at hand's what we've got to do. In leadership, I'm finding and seeing in organizations across, there is no leadership. It's do what you're told.
Well, and my hat's off to fast food and restaurant workers because, because you know what? They took a stand and they said, look, we ain't doing this anymore, especially if you're only going to give us three people to work for $7 an hour. Like, they all took a stand, and I support every single one of them, and I hope they get what they need because I think it is wrong that corporations are taking advantage of them, not just corporations, just franchises are taking advantage of people right now. And I think people are finally figuring out, oh, well, if I don't like this, I can get another job. But it's hard because you don't know. It's that what if factor. I know you don't deal with what ifs,
well,
right?
Well, that's why I preach about what ifs.
It's scary. It's scary because we don't know. Like, we don't want to go and quit our job and be like, oh, what do we do now?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, and I preach it all the time, and you've heard it, the trades, working with your hands, skilled labor. Not only skilled labor, art in general, creative, constructive jobs, manufacturing jobs. Michael Realon's going to call in here, you know, during the first break, and we're going to discuss what Olympic High School's doing. You know, they're tremendously, to me, different than other high schools because, well, the Gates Foundation gave him a grant years ago, and it's just turned into more of a tech school, more of a vocational trade school than any other high. Not that other high schools don't have some trade programs, such as East. They have an automotive. And, you know, up in Huntersville, they've got a great automotive, North Mecklenburg High, North Meck. And there are some technical or trade programs in schools, but they're sparse, few and far between, actually. So we've got to get back in the schools, get these kids, just raise the awareness of what tools and can do. Now, I went to an event just this past 2 weeks. Well, it was an apprenticeship. What am I looking for here? It was Apprenticeship Awareness Week last week. That's what it was, in construction. And I went to an event at ABC, the Association of Building Contractors, and there was like 50 to 70 electrical apprentices in there. Wow. I was blown away, you know. And they all were young adults, and ranging from, actually, they were ranging from about 40 to 45 on down to 18, 19 years old. It's a four-year program. It's apprenticeship. But here's the deal. When you get into the trades, you'll never be without a job in your life. Never. Because there's always things needing to be repaired. And I'm a great example. I've been through five recessions. Five. I've never, ever been without work. Not in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, granted, there's a lot of values and ethics and just disciplines that go with that. I mean, you can't take in any profession, you have to create disciplines, work ethics. You know, you have to show up on time, be dressed correctly, and you follow basic soft skill rules, okay? And those aren't even being taught in school either. So, you know, it's time that we address these issues, and not only for our kids in school, but for young adults, too, because we've gone through two to three generations now.
I think it's also, Ray, learning how to roll with the punches. I don't think we know how to do that. Like, we don't know how to go from one thing to the other. Like, we just quit when things get hard sometimes. And I don't think we know how to, all right, well, if
something
happens.
Well, you haven't been taught.
Well, yeah, but I think that's one thing that will, you know, it goes to your discipline thing. All right, this didn't work. How do we fix it? You see what I mean? Instead of just going, oh, we're done. It's over. So I think that goes with the discipline thing. And I don't understand why we don't teach that in schools either of troubleshooting. In my line of work, it's called troubleshooting.
Well, in my line of work, it's called thinking.
Okay.
Yes, a big thing I've focused on for many, many years is just the art, the discipline of thinking. We become so lazy. We pick up our smartphones. We Google things. And just, you know, we're an instant gratification society. And, you know, to think, just the art of thinking, problem solving, and all of the alike. And we must get thought, creative thinking, constructive, interactive thinking back in our school systems. And we can do that with tools. Tools. Tools don't include, I mean, I'm not talking about wrenches necessarily and hammers and saws. I'm talking about musical instruments, art, brushes, paint brushes, canvases, paint equipment, paint, all the things that instill creativity. You know, artistic ability, thinking, you know, not just showing up to take a test and, you know, figuring out math problems, figuring out how those math problems interact with everyday life, how to use them, how to interact with them. skills, how to read a tape measure, for Pete's sake. You know, that's a big issue. You know, we're going to talk about that a little bit with Michael Realon here in just a minute. He's on the phone. I'm going to leave him on hold until we get back out of the break, if that's okay. So, you know, and the second hour today, I have to say that we're going to talk about health and wellness with Dr. Cammy Benton, a female doctor, obviously, and she's got her own practice. And we're going to talk to her about health and wellness from her point of view and, you know, get her slant on, you know, you'll hear her story and what she believes and doesn't believe. I've been honored to meet her and discuss some things that she believes in. And I think you're going to get a little different approach than what you're used to hearing in everyday Western medicine today. And good, bad, indifferent, you believe what you want. That's your choice. But we're going to throw some things at you. We're not talking today enough about health and wellness, preventive lifestyles. You know, it's all environmental, and we're going to talk about that. But first hour, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on over at Olympic and our Put Tools in Schools event for April 2nd. You know, at the event I attended last week, I was honored to meet some Milwaukee tool rep, Klein tool rep, and we're going to get them interactive with plumbing companies and electrical companies to bring the toys. I call them toys. They're tools. Tools of the trade. Bring them to the table. Show people what that's all about, using those tools in various trades. It's amazing. The technology that's available in tools today that didn't even exist 10, 15, 20 years ago. So the technology and tools and applications with battery power, and it's just amazing. So we're going to show you. That's going to be on the tables and in the plans for the April 2nd event at Titan Solar Power right here in Charlotte on Put Tools in Schools. Folks, if you want to call us, feel free. The number, 704-227-8800. That's 704-227-8800. Give us a call. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk to Michael Realon at Olympic High School. And you come on back. We'll be here.
Coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, but the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. But the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire.
All right, welcome back. We are streaming live. I don't know what that means exactly. On Facebook now, you can go to Ray Terry. I think I'm there. I think I am anyway. But hold on a second. I'm going to share it. I think I'm going to share it. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay. So we're trying some things on Facebook. But let's go to the phones right now. We got two callers, Darren. Who we got on the phone?
We just got Mike from Olympia.
Michael?
It's just Mike.
Okay, just give me Michael. Good morning, Mr. Realon. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Reverend Ray. How are you?
I am great. First of all, I want to really thank you for introducing me to Mr. Adam Hoots. That man is...
Oh, yeah.
He is absolutely... Absolutely incredible. His passion far exceeds most, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, let's go back again and tell people who you are, what you do, please.
Okay. So I am the career and academy development coordinator at Olympic High School.
Got it. Wonderful. Now, you, Olympic High School is very active in teaching the trades and manufacturing. Tell them what all you do out at Olympic now, what all you've got going on for the kids. Students, yeah, let's call them, students.
Olympic partners with key industry sectors in Charlotte to create career academies, and we have five of them who have received the rare distinction of being distinguished. We get audited every year with this transformation educational model we do. And so we're the only, the third high school in the history of America to have five distinguished career academies. And so we believe in the model that we use and throughout the United States with this model is that modern teenagers should become both career and college ready, not just one or the other. And so we partner, you know, with the engineering, advanced manufacturing sectors, the banking and finance sectors, the IT computer science sector, the health, the medical sector, and the hospitality and tourism sectors. And those folks sit on our board of directors of each individual industry sector, and they determine what schools should look like today. And so we're very fortunate to have a lot of, we believe in project-based learning, that kids should have to prove their mastery of content, not so much by a test of circling A, B, C, or D, but they should have to apply their knowledge and make things to demonstrate mastery, that they understand the content and they can apply in a real world context and make things. And many of these projects are supported by the industry sectors of what they would like to see kids making to prove what they know.
Awesome. Fantastic. Now, you're building the 10th house this year on campus. Now, if I'm wrong on any of this, please correct me. The 10th Habitat House. So you've teamed, Habitat has teamed up with Olympic High School through sponsorships and support of other industry partners. And this year is no different, correct?
That's correct. So early on in working with the industry folks, one of the ideas was to build a project that was authentic by having kids at the school actually build a Habitat for Humanity house. So our kids in construction class, during their classes, there's been a concrete platform set up through Doggett Concrete, so that our kids, every year they go out to this platform and they build a Habitat for Humanity house. And throughout the school year, and then the Habitat house is moved from the school over to its permanent location. So we're fortunate to have great sponsors like Doggett Concrete, Lowe's, fortunately is the big, for us, fortunately has been really stepped up the last few years to be the major sponsor in the house, because it's, you know, a $75,000 to $100,000 project every year,
right,
to build the house. But then we have to move it as well to a permanent location. So this project, you know, years ago was picked by Microsoft as one of the most innovative projects, top 10 in the nation, for being for its innovation, because it provides kids hands-on learning, provides them access to be able to see the actual pathways towards careers that are in high demand, and help kids find their passion, what they're curious about, what they're interested in, and be able to find a pathway that leads to prosperity and happiness.
That's the key thing right there, prosperity and happiness.
Yeah.
Meaning purpose.
I have to just to add to that. So like Monday, Ray, or this next week, Price Brothers Plumbing is one of our great sponsors over the years, and we partner with them. So they're coming out to do the plumbing over a few days. And our kids, you know, they get to go out and, you know, all that kind of trade work. You know, we have certified trades come in and do it. But the kids get to meet with the folks at Price. They get to shadow the different plumbers and the kind of work that's associated with the house, and find out if that's something that they're interested in. And then the different apprenticeship programs and training programs that are related to those sectors. So they find out the way that they can onboard a career into that different discipline and that different trade.
Right. Well, it's awesome what you're doing, and it's changed some lives. There's no question about it. And I know you've seen, how long have you been at Olympic now, Michael?
I've been at Olympic since 2003-2004 school year.
Wow. And you've seen some career, some kids that have entered the construction career and done very well at it. Have you not?
Yeah, so I know a couple of them have been on your program.
Right.
You know, and we recently, you know, we received a lot of good media news stories, TV stories recently. And
yep.
One of those, Carly Morris over at Rogers.
Yes, I remember Carly very well.
Yeah, she was the project manager of our first house. So they, you know, they
hold on a second.
Her.
It's been that long ago.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. I remember her coming on. She's a great example of how she said it woke her up to the value of math, you know, and it changed her whole perspective. And now she's a project manager at one of the largest commercial builders here in Charlotte, one of the large ones, Rogers Builders. And it's just amazing to see that habitat, how that habitat house has changed directions, you might say, for young students or high school students at Olympic High School. It's just been great. Absolutely great. How many
kids have to, I think they have to get exposed and be able to see for themselves the pathways and what's really available. And then they need to meet, you know, young professionals that they can interact and talk to in those professions so that they understand the paths that are available to them so that they can reach their human and economic potential. And hopefully they can find what they love and what they may be passionate about, because unfortunately for most Americans, based on data and research, it doesn't work out well. 50-70% of Americans, they hate or dislike their job. 51% of Americans regret their college decisions. Not necessarily that they went, but they regret what school, what field of study they chose, and what degree they got. And they're just not old enough and don't have enough experience to make those kinds of critical decisions that live with them for the rest of their lives and sometimes lead them towards a path they're unhappy with. But unfortunately, in today's world, because of the cost of college, towards debt. And, you know, when you look at all the high school kids who graduated in last June, only 1 out of 10 of them will ever get a job related to their college degree. So we really don't, our institutions don't provide children and their families enough information to be able to help them make informed, pragmatic, wise decisions about what they should do after they leave high school.
Right. You know, it, and that's why I'm glad and really look forward to you coming on the program, be it in person or phone, and talking about this, because I talk about it a great deal, but it's great to hear an educator speak of it. And how many students are in the Habitat build this year, or the classes associated with the build?
So there will be about 150 students who will have their hands at some time or another on the house with what they do. So it's built over the first and second semesters. So right now, if you went out to the house, Ray, the walls are up. It's about to be dried in with what we do. And then it'll move from Olympic sometime around February to its permanent location and be dropped there, and then it usually takes about three different Saturdays to kind of finish it off.
Awesome. Now, you couldn't do this without industry, though, could you?
No.
See, and that's right. The point. That's the point we all have to grasp, folks. You know, I've gone to a lot of industry association meetings, you might say, and my point to industry is, if you don't step up, you're not going to have the workforce in the future. Industry must get involved, and industry is heavily involved with your program out there at Olympic. No doubt about it. You've got, and let's speak about manufacturing a little bit, Michael, from what you've got going on out there as well, because manufacturing is a tremendous opportunity for a lot of people that, you know, not necessarily interested in the trades. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, so at Olympic High School, you know, when you think of advanced high-tech manufacturing, Bosch, Siemens, a lot of the German companies who have domiciled here in Charlotte so they can better serve their North and South American customers. Southwest Charlotte has a lot of advanced manufacturing. Those companies are heavily integrated with the transformation that happened at Olympic High School. We actually have a $350,000 Bosch Rexroth Advanced Manufacturing and Technology Center with extensive high-tech equipment that you would see in a plant. And, you know, we're fortunate to have that there. It's like no other, probably like no other high school in America. But kids from 9th through 12th grade get to see the new technologies, how it merges with mechanical, electrical engineering. They get to have their hands on it to see if they like that. And we are a major supplier of apprenticeships here in Charlotte to those companies. And so what we've done and the transformational component that's happened at Olympic has been based upon all of those companies coming in to determine what they want high school to look like and working with us about how do we transform what we do, what kind of classes should kids take, what kind of projects should they be doing. You know, to be honest, and we'll brag about us a little bit, people all over the United States and the world come to Olympic High School to sit with us and our industry partners to see how we transformed education and how it's a true strategic collaboration between the two different parties. Just recently last week, Boston School District, the Cincinnati School District, and the Northeastern University Graduate School of Education from Boston sent teams front to Olympic High School from November 3rd through the 6th to come in, to personally come in and watch and see, to interview with our industry partners about what has been their role and what does high school need to look like today to better meet the needs of a 21st century workforce so that there's greater alignment. So those companies have led, and again, people from all over the world kind of come in to look and see about what secondary education and industry, how they can partner together to make a meaningful difference, not only in helping kids foster pathways that they can reach their human and economic potential, but simultaneously, we are expanding the workforce that's heavily needed here, especially in this high-tech space. And we do the same, too, in IT and computer science, of what you're seeing there. So those companies that are willing and interested in changing and transforming what secondary education is, they need to get off the sidelines and participate.
Right. Well, I think it's a great wake-up call. Olympic in general is a great wake-up call because it's what's needed in every high school in America. You know, now how do we get there? Like Mike said, he couldn't do it without industry. Industry must get involved. And I get calls every week asking me, you know, about where can I get experienced help, trained help. I said, it doesn't exist anymore. Inventory's gone. We don't have any more inventory of trained, skilled labor. The shelves are empty. And the only way we're going to get through this is do what Olympic's doing, make this very approachable and aware to students about career opportunities in manufacturing, the trades, construction, all alike, you know, in various avenues. So I love it. And I really appreciate what you're doing out there, Mike, for the kids and the students to provide them great career pathways other than the academic pathway of, you know, going to get that 4-year degree in something that you won't use, that you're not applying. And not only that, but the debt involved. Unbelievable. So, yeah. Appreciate what you're doing.
So I will tell you something. So, you know, when these folks were in from Boston, Cincinnati, and coming to Charlotte and interviewing a big panel of businesses, right, Siemens, Bosch, and everybody who were at Olympic. And, you know, one of them told them, you know, this is not altruism, right? I mean, I have to do this to be able to sustain my business. Because, you know, all companies say the most important thing in their company is talent, right, and people.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
You know, we're not engaged and we're not involved in helping really expand the talent pool down at this level where we need to be.
Yep. Well, I like the fact that you're getting collective information that's not available anywhere else because you're involved with industry and you stay involved and engaged with industry there. And I think that it's working too, is it not, very well?
Yeah, I think obviously, so from our end of it, you know, when we see our kids and we see where, you know, they get a ticket into the middle class quite frequently in high school. Because of the different programs that are being created between the industry members and the high school, and they're seeing these pathways. Again, it's great for kids, but it's also great for those companies who have a different attitude about how they're reaching down into this level and starting to collaborate to help pull kids through towards their companies and populating the talent pool they need in this city.
It's amazing, and it really, really works. Now we just got to keep it going with other schools and raising the awareness of how, of the opportunities. Tremendous. How many jobs are available now in the stats, in the data, Mike?
Yeah, over 100,000. You know, when you look at Charlotte Works, the local workforce development board, you'll see that over the past 12 months, over 100,000 unfilled jobs, you know, trying to be filled in Charlotte, 10.5 million across the country. That's a historical high.
Not only that, it's getting greater because, and as I spoke of in the first segment, people are leaving their jobs.
Yeah.
In unprecedented numbers because they're just fed up. After the pandemic, the lockdowns has changed people's perspective of corporate America and what they've been going through all along, but they're kind of waking up. And now we have the construction and what you just said, over 100,000 jobs right here in the Charlotte metro area in construction, in the trades, manufacturing alike. And you get paid immediately. And these companies will, many have apprenticeship programs. You just need to ask. And one of the things that I find very disturbing is the entry. How to get the facts, how to get these jobs. Michael, I'm hearing a lot about the transition in the way that people apply for work. And hopefully that can be remedied. And what I mean by that is people, back in the day when I grew up, we could go apply in person, walk in the front door of a company, say, hey, I'm Ray Terry, who could I talk to about a job? Where did that concept go? Where? It seems like it's not used anymore. But where it is used, it works. It works well. But all these things have changed so much. And I don't know the answers myself, but I know industry has to step up, and we've got to do a better job. And you're doing it at Olympic, and I thank you. Speak to me.
Well, thanks, Ray. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about our projects on your show and encourage companies to become.
Well, here's what I ask of you, okay? First of the year in January, could we possibly get some students in studio to talk about it? Michael?
Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
Still there. I'm hearing the music.
Is there some music playing on the board anywhere? Turn it off. Shut it down. Okay. Now you're not hearing it, are you? Are you hearing it, Michael? I've lost Mike. I'm sorry. Something's wrong. Michael's gone. I apologize for this, folks, but I got to take a break here. I'm against the clock. I don't know what's happened, but Michael Rillon, we've lost. Yep, there he's gone. He's gone. I apologize. Thanks, Mike, for calling in. I just reach out and try to make people aware of what's going on in the Charlotte area in various high schools, and we're going to work to do more of that as we move forward. 704-227-8800. Dr. Cammy Benton's in the house. We're going to talk about health, wellness, and probably some things you may or may not be able to hear on mainstream, maybe. We'll see what she has. This is very cold, meaning we haven't discussed or rehearsed or had any prior discussions except for I know where her passion is, and that's enough for me. So we'll be right back with health, wellness, and Dr. Cammy Benton from Benton's Integrated Medicine. Benton Integrative Medicine. We'll be right back.
But I could be the boy you adore, if you just let me know. Although you are true, I'm attracted to you all the more. Why do I need you so? Baby, baby, try to find a little time.
Call mine.
this is about your house, 704. Why are the phones lit up? We got callers?
No.
Well, get rid of them blinking lights. 704-227-8800 is the number. I'm a big advocate of health and wellness. And we're not – we've been lied to tremendously, and I feel like I have a guest on the show today that I can be very blunt with, and we've heard our disclaimers at the top of the hour and all that, and we're going to go places where you're not going to hear on mainstream. And I'm going to be very frank with everybody here. I'm not on this show to be right. I don't necessarily want to be right. All I want to do is the right thing. I don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. I'm 70 years old. In 15 years, you won't have to hear my voice anymore, maybe before that. But right now, I'm healthy, and I'm well, and I'm grateful for that, and tremendous, total gratitude for that. And I work on my health. I work on my state of mind and well-being, as we all need to. However, I'm a person that you tell me something. I got a brain. I have intelligence, and I can use it because that was given to me by my maker. My maker is what I believe, and I believe in I have a maker, and I'll follow natural path, holistic ways of life because if you break it all down, we're all animals. We're put on this earth just like all the other animals. They don't get vaccinated. They don't wear masks. And now people say, but it's for, no, that's what you've been told. I was in a house yesterday all day. I mean, I did a project yesterday. It took us about 3 hours. The gentleman in that house, God be with him, wore a mask the whole time I was there. I don't understand that personally. That's my problem. He can do what he wants the way he wants. He lives there. But, folks, this fear that you've been if I see you wearing a mask, you're telling me one thing. You watch TV. You watch TV. That's what you're telling me. You're doing what you're told. I don't do what I'm told if I don't agree with it. Yeah, I'm a stubborn, hard-headed guy, and I've lived my life that way my whole life. And here I am. I made it to here, and I plan to make it wherever I'm going without fear. Fear sucks, and it's driving the train because of the media and the propaganda and the total BS attached to it, driving you. Dr. Cammie Benton is in the house. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Now you're going to have to talk a little closer to your microphone.
Is this better?
That is better.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in here.
Thanks for having me.
And it was a great pleasure in meeting you a month or so back, and we've talked a few times along the way. And I've checked your website out and got some referrals and all that kind of good stuff about you. First of all, I want you to tell people who you are and, you know, a little bit your background. What brought you here, you know, to this point in time in life?
Well, that's a big loaded question.
Oh, it is big. And I realize that, but you are an MD for Pete's sake.
Yes.
And you got a lot on your plate, and I know you're a busy lady. And but I want the people, my listeners, hopefully, Cammie, along with other doctors, will be a part of this conversation as we move forward in the new year. Because, frankly, folks, I want you to know from a doctor's point of view other than what you hear on mainstream. Because doctors, let me ask you a question. Are doctors being censored?
Yes.
In a big way.
Huge. Massive. Scientists, doctors, yes. Anyone who does not speak what is on mainstream media is censored.
If you can't talk the narrative and mainstream agenda, you're censored.
You're censored.
I know for a fact because I've researched it beyond what most people would ever go because I know it's a lie.
And we're also being further censored in a way that, like, for instance, Facebook, they algorithm you. We're all algorithmed. You know, so if you're algorithm with the like-minded people. So the same people who believe how you think are the ones listening to you, but no one else can hear you.
Right.
So that's another way of censorship. It's more like engineering, social engineering.
Exactly. It is social engineering. Exactly. And you're a doctor, and you've been censored in even more ways than just the media, you know, like pharmaceuticals and various things. And we're going to go into all this, folks, because you need to hear it. You need to hear the other side because you're not hearing it. Censorship means they're avoiding you. They're blocking you. They're shutting you up, shutting you down like never before in the history of the planet.
Cancel culture.
Yep. If you don't agree, we don't want to hear it. And that's exactly what's going on and has been for almost 2 years now. Actually, it's been going on for about 40.
It's been going on a long time.
A long time.
Longer than people realize.
Yep. And it's been conditioning over all these years. And it started back in 1920s.
Yes.
You know, because I've done the history check. I know what's going on. But people say, oh, you're one of those conspiracy theorists. No. No, not at all.
Not conspiracy when you can find the facts.
And the facts are out there. Now, you can act in fear and, you know, run and hide all you want, but it ain't going to help the issues at all. You need to confront the truth, nothing but the truth. And that's really hard to come by these days. Now, back, well, I'm up against the clock here, and I don't want to, we got a top of the hour break coming up, but how long have you been in Charlotte?
Oh, I grew up in Stanley County.
You grew up in?
I was born, yeah. My Bentons have been in Union County for almost 300 years.
Union County.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved up to Stanley County.
My family moved to, actually, Midland.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but I grew up in Stanfield.
I got you.
In Stanley County. Yeah.
Right now, you're a country girl.
I'm a country girl.
You're a country southern girl.
Mm-hmm.
You get, all right, why medical? You know, what put you there?
But first, let me just put out there real quick. I just hope that the listeners can open their hearts and their minds
absolutely.
To this morning. And I prayed for people to be able to hear truth in a different way and not be afraid of what the truth brings because it's liberating. So I just wanted to put that information out there.
Thank you, because the truth shall and will set you free.
Amen.
It's the mantra I live by. People, I'm going to be honest, and I want to be authentic, authentically honest.
Yes.
And if we can all be that, but see, the problem with honesty is most people don't know how to be.
Right.
Because you've been trained not to be honest.
Especially in Southern culture, we're conflict avoiders by culture here. And so that's something I've had to unlearn, you know, because I have a need to live authentically, even if it's not popular. I don't care about being popular. I answer to one thing at the end of the night, and that's God. And that's my conviction. And it's not always popular. My choices have not always been popular. But I've always lived in my truth and very proud of that.
And I'm proud for you as well. And I'm honored that you're here talking the truth with me. Because for me, Ray Terry, to find truth in Western medicine is a chore. Because people, doctors, and many people in the medical industry in general are afraid. And rightfully so, because you'll lose your job. You'll lose your income. You'll lose what you've worked hard to achieve. And I honor that as well. But that's still.
But they're often not aware of their fear, though.
I agree.
They are.
They're conditioned, totally.
Yeah, I believe they're conditioned that what they're doing is the right way. And they have to, it's their truth. It's their truth.
I understand.
And it's hard for them to see this side, but that would require them fall down a lot of rabbit holes that they're not prepared to.
Yeah. Actually, to be quite frank, the truth of today absolutely is frightening.
Yes.
It's frightening. And most people don't want to hear the truth because of the frightening reality of it. And it's absolutely frightening.
And until every last person recognizes that we're not free, we'll never be able to find our freedom as a society.
You're absolutely right. That's why I will not acquiesce.
Yes.
to all the mandates. Will not do it. Now, if you think it's for human safety and wellness, you are flat wrong. And you're living, frankly, in denial, because it's real easy. And we're going to talk about that here on the show today. But right now, we're going to take a top of the hour break. We'll come back and find out about Cammy Benton. She looks 22, but I know she's older than that.
And 48.
She's 48 years old, but very healthy and very aware. And she's going to share her wisdom and her knowledge with you based on her life and what she's accomplished. She made it this far, and she's got her own practice. So let's listen to her. It's another open your hearts, open your mind, and spread some love. And we'll be back with more About Your House right after this.
Nothing like a little breakfast to get you going in the morning. You know, they say it's the most important meal of the day. Of course, breakfast is always better when you can enjoy it with About Your House.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Is the number. Love to hear from you if you got any questions. We're on health and wellness today. And if you don't think that's about your house, well, get sick and you'll see. And really, we want you well and feeling good, feeling great. But we're going to talk about that. Cammy Benton, Dr. Cammy Benton, MD, I'm honored that you're here with me today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
But okay, you're 48 years old. Born and raised right outside Charlotte, down in the country here in Union County, Midland. What took you to the medical industry? I mean, here you are, a young lady, you know, growing up in the country. How'd you go that way?
God, that's the only answer, because we grew up in a very humble home.
Siblings?
I have 2 older siblings and one younger one. There's 4 of us, and okay. We grew up pretty poor. Country, typical Stanley County, you know. My parents were not college educated. I mean, they worked hard. My mom was a housekeeper and housewife, and my dad is heat and air conditioned work, and we're just simple people.
Blue collar.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
blue collar.
Same way here.
And I just read books on kids with scoliosis and kids with cancer, and you know, I just always was interested, but I didn't realize. I was like, medical school is for rich white, you know, rich white people, as if I wasn't white. But it's kind of funny. It was just like you have this idea of what's supposed to be a doctor, and it wasn't me growing up. So it really was an evolution of experiences in college and, you know, prayer. And I decided last minute to go. And it is for people out there who kind of want to do something different. I broke all the rules to get into med school, too, because they're like, oh, you have to, like, answer this way, you wear this kind of suit, and you answer this kind of questions. And I went in there and wore my green suit with my faux fur and my crazy hair and bright red lipstick and told them the dead truth. And I got in faster than everyone else. You know, I got my acceptance letter right away because I told the truth. And
weren't playing the games.
I wasn't playing the games. You know, I was
a lot of games out there.
A lot of games. And I was like, nope, I am me, you know, and I don't know how to be anything else but me. So I got into med school. And I noticed pretty soon, like into the clinicals and things like that, that I started seeing that doctors, we're being taught to dismiss patients' concerns. And it was there, and I was aware of it, but I'm like, well, you know, let's just keep going. Maybe it's just a toxic environment because it's a medical system, like in a teaching environment. And in residency, same thing. I'd see my patients, like, having these complaints, and then I'd go back and tell my attending, and they're like, oh, they've read too much Dr. Google. You know, they've read too much internet. And basically, they didn't know how to treat these solutions that needed integrative approaches. And I would just look at my patients, and I'm like, I could see their suffering and their desperation in their eyes, and I was being taught to dismiss them right away. And that did not sit right with me all the way back in residency.
That's why you're a doctor, for Pete's sake. And I know this exists tremendously, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you see that on, what are you doing, reading Dr. Google? Just so you know, most doctors read Dr. Google because we don't know everything. We can't know everything. Everyone, and I've learned.
And you only know what you've been taught.
You only know what you've been taught.
That's what gets me. You know, I don't care if you're a doctor, lawyer. I don't care what you are. You only know what they teach you.
I learned so much from my patients reading Dr. Google, and I'm thankful. Because when they would bring those things to me and I could see what they were talking about, but then my attendings didn't know, I'm like, okay, there's something else out there. And that was part of my God, I feel like God showing me little truth bombs along the way.
Right.
And then when I went out into practice, I'm like, my gosh, I'm literally just keeping people on pills, seeing them back every 3 months for the rest of their lives, never getting them better. I was like, that's what I went to medical school for? And I was like, to me, that's the definition of quackery, is to keep people coming every 3 months for the rest of their lives and never getting better.
Well, I'll give you a great example, and it's no different. I just had my first grandson 3 or 4 weeks back. And
Congratulations.
Thank you. And ever since that kid's been born, they want to see you every 2 to 3 days, see that baby. What the hell's that all about? It's about money. And my son finally hit him. I said, I told you. They want you back for this. They want you back for that. And they're using fear. Well, what if the baby gets sick? Babies are born every day, for Pete's sake, in the farm fields. And that, what happened where to the people like in Alaska where there aren't a hospital? What? You know, it's just about the cash flow.
We've made everything pathological. Like kids spitting up is reflux. But that didn't become an issue until we had a prescription for babies.
Right? Yeah.
So we've medicalized everything. And it's kind of nice to have treatments for severe cases, of course. But we've convinced everyone that they can't take care of their own cold. You know, we've disempowered people to say, I mean, I had little 80-year-old ladies come to me like, oh, I think I've got a sinus infection. And they've had a cold for like a sinus congestion for 12 hours. And I'm like, how they get to 80 years old and not know how to take care of a simple cold.
Right.
We've programmed people to think that they cannot really take care of their own issues.
That's something I've said for many years on the program. That's why I talk about health and wellness. Now, granted, you know, you can believe and act the way you want to, folks, but when you go to the doctor and you don't know what's wrong with you, why? It's your body. It's your temple. It's your house, okay? But yet you go to the doctor and say, Doc, what's wrong with me? The doctor cannot tell you what's wrong with you unless you tell him.
Right.
And the doctor must talk to you and have dialogue with you in order for him or her to find out what is wrong with you. You're the source of the problem. And people, you need to connect with your spirit, with your body, with your own health, and you look at the doctor, what's wrong? The doctor doesn't know any more than you do, other than you're a human being and they're trained in your anatomy and your physiological being, maybe. But they don't know any more than you know. Would you agree with that, Miss?
I agree. It did. We're depending on your history, what you tell us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then half of you out there are afraid to death to be honest and tell the doctor really what's wrong or what you're taking or what you're not taking.
What I found through the years is that most people kind of know what's wrong with them.
They do.
But they don't feel empowered to say what's wrong with them. And so that was sort of the word doctor means to teach. Docere means to teach. And this is where medicine has gone grossly wrong and they've lost their way. is that we have not encouraged people. Like, my job is to teach you not, like, to take care of a cold so it doesn't become a sinus infection. Or if it becomes a sinus infection, these are still things you can do that you can maybe avoid an antibiotic. And, but that's so you can take care of yourself at
preventive
home.
Preventive medicine.
Preventative, true preventive medicine.
Yes.
The idea of preventive, there's preventive medicine fellowships out there for doctors, but it's all about mammograms and pap smears. I'm not going to talk about, like, I mean, pap smears dramatically decrease, like, deaths from, you know, cervical cancer. It's great. But those are just simple procedures. You learn that anyway. Real prevention is teaching people how to take care of their health at home.
And
what does health means?
Be, not need the mammogram or whatever. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. How to truly stay healthy.
Right.
And they're not learning that. They don't, that concept is so narrow, and they feel great because they've got this extra degree. But the reality is that they're still not keeping people, like, there's women with all these hormone issues. We start children on birth
chemistry.
Control
yeah.
pills right away to control their periods, which we teach them how to take care of their periods naturally. And, like, you can do seed cycling, or there's some herbals you can do and get your periods, you know, regulated. And also that goes even deeper spiritually with females and their cycles. So we're grossed out by the cycles. So they're dirty, or women are this or that.
But it's a reality of life.
But it's a necessity for population,
yeah.
for procreation. God designed us for this, and it's really a miracle that happens every single month. And so shifting even that perspective of our women's periods, for instance. But we start putting them on birth control pills right away, and then they're having all these dysfunctional things reproductive-wise that we keep trying to suppress with this pill and that pill. And then they develop breast cancer in their 40s. Well, no wonder. We've ignored their estrogen-dominant states for decades with hysterectomies, or we ablate their uterine linings, you know, when really we got to deal with their underlying cause in the first place that got them to that dysfunction. And that's where Western medicine is not well-trained at. And so real prevention, could we really prevent even breast cancer by managing truly the underlying source of, you know, hormone imbalance and really prevent breast cancer?
Not only that, but what we're ingesting, the chemicals, the processed food problem issues. You know, we had a conversation last night, me and Mary, about the meal I cooked last night, because I love cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in cooking from a blank slate, so to speak, where you literally cook from scratch, is by far the most healthiest way of cooking. Even if it's not organic, you're cooking, because you are putting everything in the pot. In other words, if you go buy a prepared meal of any sort, and especially, and when I say prepared, I'm talking about, you know, the bologna, the turkey, the salami, all those prepared meats you eat, they're full of chemicals that you should not put in your body, period. So that's what I'm talking about, knowing what you put in your body. And it's very essential for your health.
This weekend, I'm taking an Ayurvedic course with Victoria Martinez. She's with Chakra Flow University. And, like, I'll be going there right after this. And so last night we prepared a meal. And we, even from the spices, she ordered spices that were not radiated, you know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Even those things you don't even think about. And we cook the spices. We ground them down. We mix them up. And so that right there, you're putting love into your food.
Mm-hmm.
And the smells start your digestive juices
mm-hmm.
before you even get close to putting a piece of food in your mouth. And then you, it was all vegetarian. And so, you know, we made the sweet potatoes.
Are you vegetarian?
No, I'm a good Southern girl.
Okay.
But I love the idea. I could be vegetarian if I didn't love bacon so much, but I try to get free.
I love it. Yeah.
But I try to get free range and, you
sure,
know, pasture raised
right.
and all that kind of stuff. So, and I always, we bless the food. Anyway, it's a delicious meal, but it was like, she really impressed upon us, you know, the putting love in every step of the way.
Yeah.
And when you sit down with your food, you bless your food. God bless this food. You put energy into this food.
Positive energy.
Positive energy.
Good.
This is love.
Love
this
energy.
Is love.
Yeah.
This is healing. Food is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. So by that time you put that first food in your mouth, that the digestive juices are already going to break down your food in a good way. and you're less stressed. You're not in a hurry. So when we're under stress, chronic stress, most of us are.
Oh, we're going to talk about stress.
Yeah. Your body goes into this sympathetic nervous system overload. So you're... The blood flow, it's like you're running from the tiger perpetually in this country. And all your blood flow is going out to your extremities so you can run from the tiger. So your body says then, oh, it's not important to digest food when you're trying to run from the tiger. So all your blood flows away from your intestinal tract. And then your peristalsis, the squeezing action of your intestines, don't work like they should. So people end up bloating and they don't break down their food. They end up constipated and they wonder why. But just teaching people how to, you can actually, with prayer, meditation, bring that parasympathetic nervous system up, and that sends blood flow through to your intestinal tract, and then you get the proper peristalsis. And so the meditation of eating, the meditation, the prayer, God designed us, I mean.
Oh, it's amazing.
The divine design of our bodies is just, we are barely tapping into that.
Absolutely.
Barely.
I couldn't agree more.
And Western medicine doesn't even, it's like.
It suppresses it.
Yeah, it suppresses your natural. Now, and thank God that not all medicine's bad. Thank God for modern advances. But like we are 5% of the world's population using pretty much the majority of all pharmaceuticals in the world.
Pharmaceutical industry's driving the train, folks. I'm being very blunt here. They're driving your health and wellness, and it ain't good. You cannot get healthy out of a pill bottle. You can't do it.
They pay for 70% of media revenue. So as we've been locked down for the last 2 years, people have been watching perpetual commercials for pharma.
Yep. And if you understood the truth behind pharma, go to, and I'm going to recommend you doing it. I'm not a big TV person, but Dope Sick on Netflix, on OxyContin. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Unbelievable. And folks, let me tell you, it is a major, major issue in addiction in this country. Pharma.
But don't worry, they have the antidote too.
Oh, yeah. They'll create a problem and they've already got the answer. And guess what? It's in pill form.
Yes.
I'm highly. Now, look, I'm going to tell you this. This is me talking, not Cammy. I'm all for life-saving medicines, okay? I'm all for, and there's some out there.
Yes.
However, the vast majority of pharmaceuticals are going to blow out your kidneys, going to blow out your liver.
Cause cancer.
And they're going to create cancer. But they're not telling you all this. They do in their way, but believe me, it's not honest.
It's a tool. Medicines are a tool. And when used properly, you can actually do good with it. So, like, nothing in life is 100% anything, all bad or all good. There's a little bit of everything. But it's a tool, but it's not the only tool. And that's the only tool that MDs and learn. Now, good traditional DOs, osteopathic doctors, if they go to a traditional osteopathic school, they learn some really cool things.
Gotcha.
But MDs, MDOs, no. They're
plugged into mainstream.
Here's your pill for your ill.
And you do what you're told.
Here's your pill for your ill.
Yep. Exactly. We're going to take a break here, folks. Dr. Cammy Benton, Benton Integrative Medicine. And what's that word integrative mean? We're going to find out. We're even going to go to the holistic side of the pasture, of holistic. And that, to me, is where it's at. Because, you know, back before 1900s, well, actually, 1903, aspirin hit the scene. That's when everything changed. Back prior to 1900, there weren't prescriptions. They didn't exist. You got something natural that God put here in the first place called a plant. And it worked pretty well for a long time. Matter of fact, the number one analgesic plant on the planet was what? Cannabis. We'll be back.
I've been in my mind. It's such a fine line that keeps me searching.
much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know one and one is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be, for maybe by being.
All right, welcome back. A very, very interesting conversation. You need to tune into this. And if you go back, you can hear this program if you don't. Aren't fortunate enough to listen to it today. Tell your friends they can hear it by downloading the free app, Fox Sports Charlotte, free app at your app store. And right there on the homepage, when you, you know, click on the app, you'll have the archives of all the programs. You can go back and listen to them. So that's one way. And also on all five Beasley FM stations on the podcast menu, there's About Your House as well. Many ways, or you can listen to it every Saturday about an hour after the program on SoundCloud.com/AYH Ray. That'll put you there as well very quickly. Typically, Hacksaw and Darren have it downloaded within an hour or so after the program, so you have access to it. But Cammie Benton, Dr. Cammie Benton, MD's in the house today. We're talking about health and wellness. And I was really fortunate to run across this young lady because she's right on line with kind of my thoughts about Western medicine, and she is a practicing independent. When I say independent, she's her own boss. She's not owned by big medicine. And when I say owned, I'm talking about employed by major medical industry. And by the way, just to tell you folks, the largest industry in America is the medical industry. Healthcare. Wouldn't that throw up a flag? Why are we so damn sick? That's the reality of saying that the healthcare industry is the largest industry on the planet.
We're the most expensive in the world, but we rank number one for infant and maternal mortality among all developed nations, and it's worse among minority populations. We rank 34th in the world for quality of care for chronic disease states. We rank 33rd in the world for longevity by age 5. We rank at the bottom of the 20 wealthiest nations in the world for longevity in adolescence. But yet we think we're the best thing ever. What we're good at is emergency care. You know, if
that is so true. Yeah. I love some ER when you need an ER.
Thank God for the ER for when you really need it. Now, the ER kind of sucks for small things, but like important things to keep you alive. Thank God we have that trauma training
absolutely.
Here. And that was born a lot out of wartime, too.
Right.
But, you know, that we're good at. And we have a lot of good innovation, but we think we're the most innovative. But you go to Asia and Germany, like, we're so far behind. But we have convinced ourselves as doctors, as a society.
You've been told.
That we're the best thing
ever.
You've
been trained.
But our statistics are atrocious.
They're not even real. All the data today, and I'm telling you, and I know it for a fact, the data today that they're puking on mainstream propaganda TV are lies, are total fabricated BS lies.
You know, even kids in the 1980s, 12% of kids had a chronic disease state. Now 54% of kids have a chronic disease state.
And most of it's obesity and associated with poor eating and health.
But there's also a rise, dramatic rise in kids of autoimmune disease and neurodevelopmental diseases. There's a rise of it all.
Let me ask you an off-the-cuff question. And, boy, this is going off the deep side here. Would you attribute vaccinations to any of what you just said?
Well, there's one thing that we're told is that vaccines do not cause autism. That's the official word. However, there are plenty of studies that show otherwise. And most people know somebody who knows somebody whose kid regressed after vaccines. So do I think vaccines are the only thing? No, I think we have chemicals in our foods. We have destroyed our gut flora. The gut flora is important for neurotransmitter health, for our brain health. We have formaldehyde in the flooring in the cabinets. We have flame retardants in our sofas. You know, it's the chemical soup that I think it's A plus B plus C plus D. You know, and
the environmental stresses we're living in.
But we also cannot deny, and I know this, I didn't mean to jump into this controversial subject right
fine.
Away, but
no, we can go wherever we want to.
But you know, what people don't realize is people's like, well, I was young, I got vaccinated, I'd had no problems. But in my mom's age group, they got about 10 doses of vaccines their whole lives. Now, at that time, only about half the country even got those vaccines because the wealthier actually got the vaccines at that time. By the 80s, we had 24 doses of vaccines our entire childhood.
Now, money, 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 money.
But then in 1986, vaccine makers were given full immunity to liability. They cannot be sued in 1986 because the Supreme Court says that the vaccines can be undeniably unsafe. Those are quotes. And that to protect the drug companies from like losing so much money but from lawsuits, they actually put this measure in place. Now, some people would say, oh, that's important for public health measures to protect the vaccine makers because we got to do it for the greater good. That was the story.
I'm sick and tired of hearing that statement, greater good.
The problem is, let's go back. Let's take it. For those of you who are being triggered, take a deep breath in. Just listen. These are facts that you can actually, all this stuff is facts. So I'm not giving you, I'm telling you, I don't know. I can't say what causes all the autism. I mean, a lot of autism is genetic. But there's also a lot of environmental causes too. So there's, and for us to say anything otherwise, just stop science. So again, so people born in the 80s have 24 doses of vaccines their whole lives. Children now get 24 doses of vaccines by 6 months of age.
That's ridiculous.
They get 46 doses by 6 years of age, and they get 70 plus doses. That's without adding coronavirus vaccine every 6 months, to their schedule. So again, let's take a step back. And unfortunately, people look at vaccines as one entity. Vaccines are just one thing. No, they're not. Vaccines are a variety of things, and people would argue that the COVID vaccine is not really a vaccine, that it's a gene therapy. So, but even within the field of vaccines, some vaccines might be more effective than others. Some are more dangerous than others. People question, why are we giving hepatitis B vaccines to infants, which is for sexually transmitted diseases and IV drug use? You know, but we're given 3 doses of that to infants in low-risk families. In Europe, they give that to high-risk families, the people that have hepatitis B, which makes sense. If your mother has hepatitis B,
that makes sense.
Take a hepatitis B vaccine. But for people with low risk, the risk is pretty much zero for an infant to spontaneously combust in hepatitis B, and yet we're given 3 doses. It's about capturing the audience when they're little, right?
We're training, but
what people don't understand is that they've emotionally attached, like, vaccine is emotionally charged word, unfortunately. It's an emotionally charged word. So again, if you're being triggered, if you're getting angry right now, take a step back and try to deconstruct the emotion around the word vaccine. So now we're just talking about medical procedures to kids. We're talking about medical procedures, and then you look for before and after. And you can say vaccines save lives, save millions of lives. People can argue that. But one thing I want you to realize is that in 1962, prior to the MMR, there was a 92 to 98% reduction in all mortality, all death in kids prior to any of the vaccines. Because of sanitation, hand washing, we understood germs, we could give antibiotics, we can give IV fluids. There were things we could do. And again, I'm not saying don't get your vaccines. I'm not saying all vaccines are all bad. I'm literally saying don't put all vaccines into all of nothing. Like, there's nothing, that is pure propaganda. And that setup to make you triggered by hearing that word and by hearing this discussion is conditioning, is propaganda conditioning. And so take a step back and breathe, okay? Because
right.
I know there's some people freaking out right now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But we're having to ask these questions because our kids are sicker than they've ever been. Yeah.
And now they're given, I'm going to speak bluntly here. This jab.
No child should get this vaccine.
If you're giving your child this jab,
you need to do some more research.
You need to do research, and you don't know. You're crazy. You're a freaking idiot. Because you hadn't done your research. This is a child, for Pete's sake. Why are you doing it?
Because it's a vaccine. Because vaccine saves lives and they're safe and effective. That's literally why most people are doing it. They have associated the word vaccine with saving lives and safe and effective. Get beyond that and do your research.
You were born an animal, by God, with everything you need in your body, naturally. Just like plants grow. You don't need to put stuff in your body to make you more of what you already are. Matter of fact, it's taking part of you away. And you don't even realize it because that's what your doctor told you. He only knows what he's told. You need to do research, folks. Pharma's driving this train, not health, not wellness.
The vaccine makers for COVID are making $1,000 a second.
$1,000 a second. Where's that money coming from? I don't get
that. Taxpayers are paying, footing this bill. Because it's free, right? Actually, when I went up to Raleigh.
It's free, but yet it costs
$1,000
a jab?
Yeah. So that's when I went up to Raleigh to politic on these issues of freedom in May, the sweet little assistant for the Mecklenburg County representative, he's like, the vaccines are free. I don't understand what you're saying. No one's making money off of you. He was young. So I was like, nope, the taxpayers are paying for this. And Pfizer made $18 billion in one quarter. That's just Pfizer. $18 billion in the first quarter of this year.
Yep. Whether you like it or not, folks, you know, we've got to talk about it. And this is health and wellness.
Now, the COVID vaccine, some people, again, depends on which data set you look at.
Oh, yeah.
Keep in mind with statistics can be set up for whatever outcome you want.
Absolutely. And they are.
And regardless of what you believe in, whether you're for or against, there's science to support you on both sides. I will tell you that. The problem is, what is the truth? When you look at, let's say if you look just on the surface, they say that it prevents hospitalizations and deaths for higher risk populations, and that this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's what they're saying. But what you're definitely not seeing, what I can 100% say, is that children rarely die. There have been I've seen up to 700 deaths, I think, out of 72 million people in almost 2 years of children. And most of those were obese children with multiple issues. So the risk of a child dying is near zero. However, there have been 18,000 deaths reported on VAERS. That's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Due to the vaccine, and children are having very higher rates of myocarditis, pericarditis, heart disease. They're just saying, don't worry, it's just a minor thing. No, it's just your heart. So once you develop this, you're going to have cardiology appointments for a long time. And J&J just came out with their blockbuster blood thinner, Plavix, you know, got approved for children, and Pfizer came out with their blood thinning product. And what have we been hearing about? Blood clots.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So we're feeding the beast.
I know.
And I'm not saying, and let me say this clearly. People do die from coronavirus infections. They absolutely die. I could die tomorrow in a car accident, too. So COVID's real. And COVID, I mean, I just had it actually 2.5 weeks ago. I had COVID 2.5 weeks ago. And it went straight to my chest. And, I mean, it was intense. But I did all the things, and I was 80% better within 36 hours.
Right.
So COVID is also treatable for the most part. Is it going to be 100%? Nothing's 100% in this world.
Right.
We're 100% guaranteed we're all going to die someday.
Yep.
We're all going to die. And this is the spirituality of, do you live in fear or do you not live in fear?
Exactly.
Is, you know, if God wants me, he's going to take me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to jump off the cliff with no parachute and, you know, I'm going to be smart. But for me, health means something different than people on the other side.
Right.
I believe that we have been given everything that we need. And I did. I will tell you, I used the monoclonal antibodies, and I think that really did help a lot, my chest stuff. I did the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. That stuff got rid of my body aches. But I think what helped my lungs the most was the monoclonal antibodies. That's a pharmaceutical product that I did utilize. And for me, it worked well.
Well, there's some pharmaceutical cures out there. There's no question.
Right. So the thing is, what we're being, the reality of what's been happening with COVID is I believe a lot of the COVID deaths are not, there's certainly the whole idea of, did they die from COVID or did they die with COVID? Actually, just there. That's one part of the equation. But I believe a lot of the deaths of COVID are due to lack of treatment. It's early treatment. And this is a big controversy among the medical community. I just actually departed from a telemedicine company. I won't say the name. I signed up for a second sort of a moonlighting job over the last year thinking, what happens if the economy fails? I want to make sure I didn't want to like my staff. I want to be able to make sure I could keep my staff so I could pay myself. So I signed up for this telemedicine company, which actually I learned a lot of lessons. And last October, it was hilarious. I was treating with COVID with hydroxychloroquine at that point. And a family member called in and got another doctor. And all of a sudden on the physician chat room, I saw the doctor say, oh no, one of our own physicians is treating COVID. What an embarrassment to the medical establishment, right? So then they all started making fun of me on the physician chat room. And within 2 days, that company created a whole policy against treating COVID because of me treating COVID patients. So I'm like, I just laughed. You know, honestly, it did not bother me. Like, again, I answer to God in the night, that's it. So, but I kept on treating, honestly. Then the, again, as more and more studies came out for ivermectin and, you know, hydroxychloroquine and vitamin D and all these other things. Back in August, I presented the data. I'm like, all right, guys, you guys are keeping an entire national group of doctors from treating COVID, but there's really all this other data. It's not perfect data. They was like, oh, but some are preprint and some are like whatever. They just didn't like all of they just said, nope, the studies are not useful at all. But meanwhile, there's thousands of doctors like myself using, like treating patients early and having success and keeping them out of the hospital.
Right.
And even some people that really need to be in the hospital, they're like, we're not going to the hospital because they're going to kill us. And we managed them at home and got them through. Anyway, so again, the company says, nope, you can't do it. So then when I had COVID 2.5 weeks ago, and we got another email from them about off-label use of medicines. Off-label use means that the drug company that made that medicine did not study that particular indication for the medicine. So instead of doing a multi-million-dollar study, we just use it off-label. We do that all the time. Most of the medicines we use are used off-label, quite frankly, because it's too expensive to do all those studies.
You're saying generic, basically.
Generic, yes.
Is off-label. Well, yeah.
Or even certain medicines, it just means it's the what it was studied for. You found it also benefits these other things.
Right.
So so during a pandemic where you think, okay, everyone's dying, we got to save lives. And you would think if it were truly about health, let me finish this story and I'll go back to that. So I wrote them. They sent me the off-label thing. Y'all can do anything off-label except for COVID. You can't treat COVID again. So then I let them have it. So then I said, okay. So if you're going to treat, if I can't treat COVID, I want you to tell me why. And they said basically the harms outweigh the benefits. Now, he said, I'm not worried about the toxicity of ivermectin, which there is no upper limit of toxicity for ivermectin. This whole idea of the horse paste, it being a horse paste, that's just propaganda, is used also in animals, but it's been used in humans for 35 years, safely, has been generic, it won the Nobel Prize in medicine. It's been, I mean, millions and probably billions of doses, but at least millions of doses have been used safely, right? So it's safe. So the director of this company says, I'm not concerned about the actual toxicity. I'm concerned that if people have a false sense of hope that they could be treated, they won't get the vaccine. So he literally put in writing, we cannot treat COVID early because if they know there's treatment early, they won't get the vaccine. That's literally, I have it in writing. It's beautiful. It's like, thank you. You guys are guilty of criminal negligence and should be convicted of war crimes. I want you to release me of my contract. And they did. Right? So that's the reality of what's happening.
You just heard of that story from a doctor, folks. See, that's the truth. I mean, she's not here to win the argument.
Oh, actually, it causes me nothing but trouble, in fact, because me pushing, promoting ivermectin, I've already gotten reported to the medical board by someone in California, not even a patient, for promoting ivermectin. And so I'm under investigation by the medical board for 6 months for just trying to treat COVID early.
For doing what you signed up for.
Right. For looking at the patient in front of me. But I can tell you this, over the last year in telemedicine, I have been seeing people from all over the country that have been denied care. They've been turned away from urgent cares. They've been turned away from their primary care doctors. And they're just desperately seeking treatment. Meanwhile, I'm watching the physician chat room of the people. The doctors are making fun of the patients, and they're laughing at the patient's suffering. And they're like, oh, we're going to make sure we give them ivermectin cream instead, just to make sure they don't get their ivermectin pills. You know, that's literally the conversations I'm watching happening among doctors, right? They we would rather you die because they believe in that vaccine so much that they would, they're like, it's either or. I'm like, if you want your vaccine, get your vaccine. I don't care if you get your vaccine. If you're high risk, go get your vaccine. But there's also treatment available. And keeping us from doing it is I think, criminal.
Not only, now, you just spoke of the vaccine issues. I want to talk about, we're going to talk about, the health side. Because, see, if you're healthy, chances are you won't get sick.
The risk of me dying from COVID is 0.02%.
Yeah.
And that's including all Americans who are not healthy. So, again, not to say that people are not going to die. Young, healthy people do die. I want to put that out there. I know of, but I believe they died because they did not get proper treatment.
Exactly.
And if this government really cared about health, and if our medical establishment really cared about health, they'd be pushing vitamin D. They'd be pushing sunshine.
And they'd take the damn soft drink machines out of schools.
Take the soft drink machines out of schools. Take the junk food out of the schools.
Let's talk about healthy.
Let's instead of paying the STAR to push the vaccine, spend that thousands and thousands on nutritionists to send in high risk neighborhoods.
Exactly. Oh, we got callers, folks, and we'll get to the callers after the break, but I got just one caller?
Yeah, just one caller.
Okay. 704-227-8800. Dr. Cammie Benton, MD's in the house talking health, wellness, and basically current events, because you're getting fed a lot of crap, and we're going to talk the truth. Spoken from a doctor who's out there every day playing in it. We'll be right back.
Ain't nearly on the rise. We still got the moon and stars above. Underneath the velvet skies, love is all that matters. Won't you stay with me? Don't you ever leave? Lay down, Sally. I'm resting in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to?
We're going to go right to the phones, talk to Mr. Jerry Eisenhower, I do believe. Pull him up. Yep. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ray. You know, there's nothing like sitting in the Ray Terry waiting room.
Well, thank you for your patience, Jerry.
You know, I thought I had more respect from them boys, but hey, what can we say?
Well, let me tell you who the culprit was. It's your buddy Hacksaw, see, Steven here. He says just keep him till after the break. So anyway, there you go. Well,
yeah,
I appreciate you calling in.
Well, anyway, I want to really say a word of thanks for that young lady you have sitting there today.
Well, you're welcome, sir.
Because she just gave wisdom that goes far beyond what you're talking about. You see, in this world today, Ray, this is one of the issues. We have what we call a mob mentality, and it's easily goes crazy.
Yep.
And people make judgments based on not doing the research. They really don't do the research. You know, in what I do, Ray, I have to be very careful. I do not make political statements on Facebook. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, sir, I've seen that. I see you being careful.
Very careful, because the whole thing is I'm not doing what I do to offend anyone. And whenever you go into political statements, but see, if you look at it, and that's one of the problems, I'm so upset with the medical profession for the prescribing of drugs, the antidepressants, and everything else right now. It's unreal.
Yep.
It is simply unreal. I've got a very good friend that just tried to take his life because he was on antidepressants. He was on a medication called Paxil. And he's in ICU right now in a hospital. And this is what, you know, people have to learn to deal with their problems in life. We've all had problems. Everybody's got problems.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to do the research. And that also brings me to what upsets me about the news media today. Do you remember a guy by the name of Cronkite by chance?
Yeah, Walter. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Do you remember people like Huntley and Brinkley?
Oh, yeah. Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
Yes, sir. And what did they do? They reported the news. And today, we don't report the news. We try to make you think what the news is saying. And it happens continuously. It's just like there was a famous trial that was just held this week. And you've got news media on both sides that are trying to dissect the judgment of 12 men and women that sat in the room and deliberated this for a number of hours, for days.
Yep.
And you look, and this is the problem, and you hit it a while ago. People have to do the research. But words mean everything. They really, truly do. And in today's world, everybody is a newscaster at the click of a click of a mouse. But it's key. I mean, this is what I do. I hear something, I start doing the research. My friend, what he's going through, I started getting mad. I went and did the research. What does this cause? Mm-hmm. What's the results of over-medication? And that's what people have to do. And if people would learn to do that, Ray, we'd have a whole lot better world to live in today.
Couldn't agree more, Jerry. And I really appreciate you calling in with it, too. I really do.
Well, it was. I was sitting here this morning working in my office, and I tuned in your radio. And actually, to be honest with you, I saw it come up on Facebook because Stephen was broadcasting live. That's how I can say that young lady sitting there, because she's not a very, she looked like a younger person to me, but she is very, very wise. So, young lady, please take it as a compliment, would you?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. So, Ray can tell you who I am after he leaves, but realistically, that's the message you got to keep preaching, Ray. You just keep on what you're doing, you know, and I congratulate you. You got on this tools and schools things many years ago. But here's what we got to figure out, Ray. There's a deeper question here. Because, again, if you do the research, people are quitting their jobs in record numbers.
Absolutely.
Record numbers.
But they say it's due to a better economy is what they're saying. The news is saying, oh, it's due to our economy. It's so much better. And so that's why we have record people quitting jobs. You're like, that's ridiculous. People think.
Well, it is. It is ridiculous. And the whole thing is, a lot of them just do not want to work in the work environment that we've had for years. You know, we've gone to a environment where working from home. And if you look at it, many people are not productive working alone. That's why you see so many young millennials working from a Starbucks. They can't operate on their own. Actually, Ray, as an experiment, I rented what I called a millennial office about 2 years ago. And this is a group office where you rent access. Now, I did that for 2 months to observe how millennials operates, how they think, how they work, different things like that. But that's what people have to do. When you have a question, my God, the biggest research vehicle ever in this world is at people's fingertips. When we look at it right now, I'm talking to you from a phone that has more capabilities of research than computers did in the 60s. The amount of information that you can access by simply shutting your mouth and clicking a few buttons is phenomenal. So keep preaching the message, and young lady, you're very wise.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing what you're doing, because it sounds like you're on the right path, so I congratulate you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jerry Eisenhower. Appreciate you calling, big guy.
Yes, sir. You have a good week.
Go spread some love. We'll talk to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Jerry's out. And
John.
John, well, we only got 3 minutes. Can John wait till after the top of the hour break? Yeah, just check with him. John, just hold your phone. I'm up against the clock here, and we'll just wait till after we come back, top of the hour. That way we won't have to cut you off, because more than likely we will, because if you have a question, it's going to take longer than 2 minutes to answer it. Cammie, since you've been in, when you came to into the medical industry, where did you start?
In Lincolnton.
You started in Lincolnton at a hospital up there?
Yeah, I did the inpatient and outpatient. Actually, first I did a year of locum, so I traveled in Maine and Washington State, but I did outpatient care there and some inpatient work. But yeah, I started in Lincolnton, North Carolina, and in a little country practice. It was sweet, and then I realized in the inpatient system, it was like I started seeing my concerns for quality of care, and a lot had to do with like burnout from doctors, and they just didn't seem like their heart was in it. It's like they lost their, I feel like they've lost their souls.
Well, some, I think doctors have lost it. Either you just get used to the being told what to do. You go to, what bothers me about it is most doctors go to the, through the rigors of being a doctor because they care about humanity.
Right.
And the well-being of humanity in general.
But that toxic training, I feel like, beats out the compassion.
Not only that, but working in that environment after you get out of school and you're practicing your purpose, and they beat you down.
They do. It's so toxic. I mean, that's why I'm in my own practice. That was an interesting story, too. I got a...
Well, you can share that with us next hour, and yes. I'd like to hear that, because I really honor you and the fact that you've been brave enough to step outside the box of Western medicine and dictatorship.
I couldn't stay in it.
And
I didn't fit.
Dictatorship is what it is, because today doctors are being told what to say, how to say, and how long they can say it or not say it. Right or wrong.
Right.
So, you know, and it's just like school teachers. School teachers, same thing. You're being told how to teach your purpose. Wrong. You can't do that. You should not take away passion from humanity, because it's changing nature.
It's a paternalistic control structure.
And you cannot do it successfully, because anytime you mess with Mother Nature, you will fail. It never has been done successfully. Never do your research. I have. Believe me, it's a fact. So, you know, you can play this game of trying to dictate and play God all you want. Doctors aren't playing God. They're not. They're playing medical with your body. It's your temple. And you need to do more research to find out what's wrong with you before you go to the doctor, because it is your body. But we're going to throw some things at you here in the next hour, because we've got an hour left. I want to talk about, why are we so damn fat and so unhealthy? If we were more healthy, we wouldn't be as sick, right? I mean, that's kind of stupid saying, but we need to concentrate on our health and well-being. And it's real simple, but you got to pay attention. And this thing, well, but I like that. I like a lot of things. Don't mean I'm going to do it. You know, come on. Says, well, I can eat what I want. You sure can. You can die the way you want to if you want to. We'll talk about it. Come on back next hour. We got callers lined up. We'll get to John, I believe,
yes,
when we return. We'll be right back.
Well, might as well get this day underway. Let's face it, this honey-do list ain't gonna do itself. Of course, I could use a little help. Ah, there we go. All the help I need. It's about your house.
Oh, this old house once knew its children. This old house once knew its wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life.
About Your House is brought to you by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed contractor in North and South Carolina, servicing both residential and commercial with 7 offices. A trusted and professional foundation solution since 2002. If you have a problem, we have a solution. Call toll-free 877-770-7050 or online, carolinafoundationsolutions.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Song. 704-227-8800. Put a caller in on me here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
What's going on, Mr. Terry? How are
of
you?
Of course it is.
I'm good. How you doing, Johnny B?
I didn't know your brother lived on Cornwall Road.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, there ain't much going on this morning, but I like your little listener. I think that she should add a lot of things to eating fruits with color. Like I eat a bell pepper every day. I eat blueberries every day. You know, and I haven't gotten vaccinated, and I don't plan to get vaccinated. I work with the public every day. I don't unless they make. Well, okay, so I rephrase that. I don't. I've been into every grocery store in Charlotte, pretty much, in Ballantyne. And they don't say nothing to me when I don't wear my mask. I don't wear my mask. Now, I have to wear it when I go downtown to the courthouse because you got people with guns and they make you wear your mask. But anyway, you know, so I that's kind of what I was getting at. But, you know, I think that, you know, the health-wise, I think if people ate more you know, red fruits, red vegetables, I think things would be a lot different. The only time I would say somebody to get vaccinated would if you got compromised. And I've lost a couple of people due to this disease. And they didn't get vaccinated. They had heart disease. They had diabetes. They didn't eat good. And once that got into their lungs were shot. And they died. And it was quick. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
That's all I got to say about that. My question is, I got a heat and air question.
Okay.
I got a dual system, all right? And I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to get a heat and air person out here. And I've tried to figure it out. You know, I got a unit upstairs a unit upstairs, and then I got two thermostats, one upstairs and one downstairs. It's not matching up. In other words, I have some heaters, you know, a couple heaters downstairs. So if I put my thermostat on 65 downstairs, it'll regulate, it'll do like 72. Okay?
Right. Right.
For to be able to sleep at night.
Right.
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 So, but if I put it any higher than that, it'll go up to 77. So something's not right. I had a guy come out here this summer. Had a leak. I'm not blaming him, but he went up in the attic and kind of messed around. I had a leak on my air conditioner. But once I turned that heating system on, and the funny thing is I, when we had all that warm weather last, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, I turned the heat air conditioner on, which I just wanted to see if it matched up. You know, I put it on 72, and it matched up. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
In other words, the air conditioning was matched up, but once I turn it over to heat,
okay,
I have to kind of play with it.
Johnny B,
it's cool.
Let me interrupt you. Okay, you need to have that same guy or a guy from a mechanical company, the same guy, come out and do the same thing in the summer in the winter as he did in the summer. You need some balancing. That's it. You just got to figure out where your problems
so call
are.
Call MTB.
Yeah, call. I would call MTB. I mean, you naturally.
I don't trust. I mean, okay, all right. So
you can.
You think there's some type of balancing problem?
There is. That. Yeah, and you can rectify it with time and the right. You know, person, right tech, the right person for the job, someone with some good knowledge. But yeah, you need to have it checked in the summer and also in the winter and see if you can't achieve some better balance.
All right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so in other words, you think it's something to dealing with something in thermostats. Something.
No, not necessarily. Could be thermostats, could be air return issues, could be many things, but you need to have it looked at and get a handle on it. That's all.
Because, yeah, I mean, but the weird thing is it matches up when you put it on cool.
That's why I'm saying have them back out in the heat, I mean, the winter months now where your heat's on, okay?
Yeah, because it's kind of a pain in the butt, but okay.
All right.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a service call then.
You got it.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you for your calling. You too, big guy. Take care. Bye-bye. And he's out. Okay, back on topic here. I've got Cammy Benton, MD, Dr. Cammy Benton. You've got two locations.
I'm about to open my third in 2 weeks, yes.
Well, talk about where you are and what you offer people.
We do direct primary care, which is a non-insurance based. So we don't do insurance. It's a monthly membership. So it's kind of like concierge, but a little bit cheaper than the concierge model. And
now explain that to people that aren't aware, because, you know, a lot of people, that's part of the Western medicine gimmick, is called insurance. Everybody plays this insurance game, which I'm totally appalled at, because you're basing your employment, your lifestyle, and everything else on your insurance. Your insurance is not your life. Now, granted, it's wonderful when you need it. I agree. But if you're healthy, you don't need it. You know, so this insurance game, for example, I got a physical from a country doctor up in Concord, actually Kannapolis. I paid him a fee. Is that the concierge model?
No, it's a monthly membership, and so instead of billing you for the second or for the minute or whatever, you just have me, and so you have my cell phone number, you know, it's the monthly membership. So if you get sick on a Saturday, you can just give me a text and say, hey, check the portal message, you know, this is my issue, and then I take care of them. That way, I mean, you get me and not some...
Well, they pay a monthly bill for that?
Mm-hmm. They pay a monthly bill.
And the bill's set up front like it's a club?
It's just taken out.
It's like a dues thing?
Mm-hmm. And so we have the office in Cotswold area. We have Huntersville, and I'm about to open up my own practice in Denver. That's closer for home, Little Denver, for me.
Right.
And so that includes sick visits, well visits, pap smears. That includes diabetes labs even. Like when I worked for a regular corporate setting, labs for diabetic might cost $800, but it's actually included in our membership fee. So if you're a diabetic, you can actually just get your labs included, which is nice. And so you don't have to. These days, people's insurances also are not very good. They're very high deductible. So they're paying a lot of money for high deductible stuff. And so this is part, this is just the beginning of creating what I call the new medical system, because we know the old medical system's broken. We know that people are like killing themselves just to afford even the insurance just to cover basic stuff. And like
and it's in
just
the pharmaceutical side of it, the pills side.
The pills. But then you look at when you look at the administrative cost, that like accounts for like 95% of our medical costs, you know. And so what we have to do, we have to figure out how to get rid of all that administrative cost and then try to bring it back down to back in the olden days. But in the olden days, but we're bringing in the newer concepts. So we've got to be part of the creating the new medical system. And that's why. So we've got the direct primary care. I do functional medicine out of the Huntersville office. We have a med spa also in the Cotswold office. And we're trying to offer, we're trying to broaden, because I just opened 5 years ago. And since in 5 years, we went from just me in a little, gosh, it was like probably 700 square foot room to now we have three offices and I have five mid-level providers. And we've expanded, but I believe it's because it's a God thing. You know, I believe that we're here serving a purpose. I'm finally able to live my purpose as a physician, and we're able to provide compassionate medical care to people. And so next, the next step, this is the big exciting news, is that we are trying to open up an integrative hospital in Little Denver. And it is to provide compassionate health care with the best of all kinds of medicine. Pharmaceuticals, integrative stuff, IV vitamin C. We can, you know, IV, just the IV vitamins. We can have people praying over you. People can bring in their chiropractor, their acupuncturist. And what my goal is to never let anyone die alone. The idea of people dying alone to me is, it breaks my heart to pieces. The fact that in our medical complex that we are letting people die alone and we are keeping them from their families. You know, the CDC did a study that said the second biggest factor in bad outcomes is actually anxiety and fear related disorders. And so what we've done, we have kept people in fear. We've kept them divided and hating each other.
It's a war tactic, folks.
This is an ideological war.
It's an ideological war going on right now, and it's all on purpose to keep you in a fear state of fear, which breaks your health down.
Oh, when I went to DC, we did some politicking up there about a year ago. No, probably two before COVID, actually. So before COVID, we went up to DC, and I had one of our people went to Nancy Pelosi's office because they're from California. And her assistant said, because she's talking about like them dividing families. And so I had already been up to the Jewish synagogues up in New Jersey during the measles, you know, little outbreak up there. And they were actively dividing the families, actively dividing the people in the synagogues there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is how it starts. And now that this is going to, you know, break through to the rest of the country. This is the canary in the coal mine. And Pelosi's assistant says, just wait. How close are you to your family? We're about to split up your families. And they actually admitted that. So right now, people are not willing to see their own family members at Christmas and Thanksgiving. People are being denied access to any access to the family because they're not vaccinated or whatever. So they successfully have divided our families. You know, this is a war tactic. So
it's tactical.
This is a psyop. This is psychological operations that we're facing right now.
And people, you're just eating it up when you watch television.
Right. Just
television
turn off the TV.
Is the biggest weapon on the freaking planet.
They're putting it, they're weaving this into movies. They're weaving this in the TV stations. You think it's just the commercials media? The actual news. Everything they're giving is a constant commercial. You're fed constant commercials from pharma and from government. And this is allowed. They pass a law saying the government can put into Hollywood whatever they need to get information to the public that they see fit. That's what's happening. But this is why we have to wake up and say, all right, nothing that divides us, nothing that creates division and hatred is ever of good. Like nothing ever in history that says for your safety, we're going to split you up. We're going to put you into separate groups is ever for your safety. So this is why we have to create the new medical system. Mm-hmm. We have to create the outlet for people to like leave that toxic medical system. And we can show people, our community right here in Charlotte can show people how it's done and how we can give compassionate care that's in an integrative model that has the best of everything. And no one's going to die alone. We're not going to be separating mothers from their babies in the delivery wards. None of that. We can't do it. Now, I won't be able to accept Medicare and Medicaid because they're the ones enforcing this.
That's the government.
That's the government.
Anything attached to your government, like the freaking mask, because you have to wear your mask in everything associated with government. Don't you see what's happening, folks? Don't you see? Wake the hell up. We've got to stop acquiescing to all these demands and rules because it's killing more people than the other is. And you don't even see it. You don't even recognize it.
They can't see it. They're blind.
Because you're being fed a lie. Not one lie. Oh, God, they're hard to count. Impossible to count. So, folks, you better wake up. It's not what it seems at all.
Not what it seems. You know, but that's, I think it's really hard for people to open their eyes to this. It's painful. It's painful to.
Of course it is.
It's painful to learn that you've been lied to. It's painful. I mean, I went through the whole grieving process myself many years back when they started mandating the flu vaccine I worked for a local corporation. I won't say which one. And I had the flu twice my whole life, so I just never got the flu shot. And it was like not a big deal. If most
never
of us remember, you didn't have schools closed down for flu outbreaks.
No.
You didn't have us terrified of the flu, and we weren't scared that we're going to kill grandma with the flu. And then yet all of a sudden, I remember back in, it was 2004, Bush and Kerry were running for president, and there was a national flu vaccine shortage. And then he got accused of being short on national security. So Bush says, I'm going to see to us on every street corner. And it was. But to do that, you had to create fear. You had to create demand.
You got to drive the train with fear.
Sounds like we're going to head to another commercial, but we'll have to pick that up after.
When we will.
You're learning.
704-227-8800. Dr. Cammy Benton, MD's in the house. Well, talking what's going on in the medical industry right now. And it's all a bunch of lies. And there's an agenda at stake here, folks, and the narrative. And if you don't play by it, they shut you up. We'll be right back.
On your dreams, the one they pick, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Baby, baby, baby.
Dr. Cammy Benton in the house, you know, talking a series of things, you know, about our environmentals. Basically, right now, it's called environmental stresses. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean,
what we're being told and what you're being driven to every day. And what substantiates this is all the mask wearing. People wearing masks in the car by themselves. They're wearing masks walking down the road by themselves. Why are you doing this?
If you are going to wear a mask, if you're going to wear a mask and you're high risk, let's say you're a high risk person, that's why I've tried to say, you know, if you're high risk and you want to protect yourself, wear an N95 mask. Like, wear the real thing. Yeah. And even then, it's not 100%, just so you know. But you're also not going to catch anything just passing by someone in the grocery store. You're not going to do it by passing someone. You have to be in someone's presence for more than like 10 minutes within a few feet apart. Now, granted, probably at bar gatherings, but, you know, but if you're high risk, you know, you got to protect yourself and your best. And I respect everyone who protects themselves. But to make me wear a mask in a grocery store when I'm not going to catch COVID there, just by picking up some green beans, you know, it's just, it's not even scientific. And the studies, you can find studies to support everything.
Anything and everything.
But really, when you look at the data for the cloth mask, it's just dumb. It's just dumb. And until last year, until, I guess, the pandemic, decades of data showed no benefit of healthy people wearing face masks out in public. You know, it's meant for, like, close exposure to someone who's really sick. And that makes sense in a medical setting, or if you're going to be exposed. And like I said, if you're a high-risk person and you want to protect yourself, wear an N95 mask, step it all the way up. But the cloth masks are just like a joke. There's simply no
science. And we were talking about division. Keep us divided. You know, folks, I just wish you would wake up, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you're a human being, for Pete's sake, okay? What do you think they're doing to us with all this? The black community in Charlotte is scared to death because of media, because your incidents are higher, they're saying. They're trying to frighten you. And you're at no more risk, the reality, you're at no more risk than anybody, any other human on the planet.
The risk is coming from metabolic syndrome, from insulin resistance, and that's the risk. Because you look at countries of primarily black people, they're not at higher risk than anyone else.
No.
It's this country and this country, because there are higher rates of diabetes. Maybe it's access to care. Maybe it's
diet.
It's access to healthy food that's affordable, healthy food. Because it's cheaper to buy hot dogs than it is to eat everything organic and pasture raised. I mean, it is a luxury to, you know, someone made fun of me like a long time ago, like for buying organic food. And I'm like, you know what? Because they're like, oh, it's all crap. It's all like, it probably is half crap, you know, too. It's marketing. I was like, but if the people like me buy organic food, then what it does, it creates demand. And then as it creates demand, then it goes down to people at Walmart. So my Walmart has a bunch of organic foods. Then people say, do you know what? That one, they're lying about that being organic. But then as more people know about it, they're aware of it, then they will create demand for honesty and marketing.
Exactly.
That's what it takes. It's just the process of our demand. And the reality is that this is what we have to remember, is the power in numbers. We were able as a people to create a demand for organic food products in Walmart. All right. So if we can, as a people, put our dollars where it matters,
right,
the same thing's going to happen with this pandemic and with all the regulations. If we support each other instead of fight each other, then we're going to get a lot more. We actually have that power in numbers to create that change
we
need to see to bring peace back to our nation. Right now, there's not peace, and they don't want peace. They're keeping us divided.
They want us divided.
They want us divided in the family and work and every possible spectrum. But we have the power to create that demand for love and for that connection.
Together we win, divided we fall. And that's the message. Real simple. And another one I like to see is actions speak louder than words. You know, it's real simple. Real simple. But I'm going to get on something right now because we don't have a lot of time left. And that's your health. If you're healthy, you have a good diet, and you feed your gut and your body, your temple, with good, you are what you eat. And if you eat lousy, you're going to be unhealthy. Your gut controls your whole makeup, everything.
There are more serotonin receptors in your gut. 70-90% of your serotonin receptors that affect mood, happiness, joy, are actually in your gut, not in your brain. So it affects your ability to sleep well. It affects, you know, if you think about the people with irritable bowel syndrome and anxiety, they get nervous, they have to go poop, right? Mm-hmm. Why does that happen? Why does anxiety relate to having to go poop, right? Sure. It's because of the neurotransmitters that are located there in your gut. And if you can learn how to heal your gut, decrease your inflammation, you are improving not just your neurotransmitter health, your serotonin health, that's your brain health, that's joy, that's pleasure, right? Then your sleep improves. If you have good quality sleep, if you honor your circadian rhythm, you go to sleep at 10, you get up at 6, you know, thereabouts. Sure. If you honor your circadian rhythm and you honor the food and you have the food blessed that you eat, that you put into your body, the spirituality, God designed us for this very purpose. And again, we're supposed to use tools that we have made to us. That could be an antibiotic for us. Thank God people don't die from strep throat these days.
Let's talk about C. diff a minute.
Okay.
Very popular. Everybody, you hear this, I got C. diff. Folks, antibiotics in great quantities will cause C. diff.
Yes.
And antibiotics, people go to the doctor and get for a cold now. Ask the doctor for antibiotics because they think it's the miracle cure. It's also very detrimental to your gut health. So, you know, keeping healthy, keeping infections at a low are much better for you than taking an antibiotic. And then when you take the antibiotic, are you doing what's necessary to get that out of your body? Like more water, like lemon water. You know what?
Fermented foods.
Yeah, exactly. Fermented foods, all these healthy things that you don't seem to know much about because the doctor ain't going to tell you.
And it's expensive to buy at Whole Foods, but it's actually cheap to do at your home.
Absolutely.
Yourself. You don't have to have a budget to shop at Whole Foods. It's easier. It's more convenient. But if you want to be able to afford to eat well, you can do all the stuff at home. It's actually not hard to eat well at home if you can grow things yourself. We got to return back to agriculture. And I have to admit, like, I made fun of my high school principal for like pushing agriculture and home economics, but he was very gender specific about that. The girls need to like learn how to sew and the boys need to learn how to do this. I was like, I wish I was taught how to change a tire.
Sure.
I wish I was taught how to like grow food.
Let's put tools in school.
Right, tools in schools. Like, and the boys need to learn how to, like, sew up a
button. Absolutely. I can sew. I can iron. I can do anything.
We need to learn collectively how to take care of ourselves. And that's what those skills are, is learning how to take care of yourself. And we've taken that out of schools. But, you know, but even when we did have it, it was, like, very divided.
Sure.
When we need to actually, I need to learn how to, like, grow my own food. Like, this is a skill set that every child should learn how to do.
And know about food.
So we don't have to depend on mass supermarkets to afford our fermented foods.
Right.
We got to return back to basics.
And let me tell you how, personally, I have found that it's much cheaper to eat well because I fast every day. I don't eat but one meal every day.
And you tell amazing data on intermittent fasting.
And you tell people that, and they say, oh, I got to eat breakfast. No, you've been programmed to eat breakfast. The squirrels and the bears and everything, they don't get up in the morning every day and say, well, I got to go eat breakfast. And if you lived in Alaska, you'd probably eat one meal a day. And it might be breakfast, but you won't eat a dinner that day. Fasting, one meal a day is all humans need. We're animals, for Pete's sake. But if you make that one meal a day very healthy, very healthy, and you don't eat sugar, you don't eat bread, you don't eat dairy, you know, now I'm saying all this because I don't. Haven't for 5 years. Yes, I'll break down and have a milkshake occasionally. Yes, I'll eat a barbecue sandwich occasionally. But for the most part, no fried foods. Now, see, now I'm spitting out all that. I love to eat growing up in the South. Man, I have cooked. I've cooked for 8.5 years for 88 men every month. And I love cooking me some good food. But just because you like it don't mean you have to eat it. because there's a lot we're eating, folks, that is absolutely detrimental to your well-being and health. Therefore, should you do it? But I like it, and I want it. Okay, be sick. Be sick.
If you're sick and you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to stay sick.
Yeah.
But the fasting does increase your own growth hormone, which actually helps to repair your body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I've done my research.
I've had people get off of insulin just by doing intermittent fasting.
I know. It's amazing. And it's not a big deal once your body gets used to it.
It takes like a week or two.
Yeah, but it's easy. You got something back?
Well, no, I was just going to say, so Cammie, I am someone that has dealt with gut health for about 5 years now. So with gut health, I've always asked this question because so I do have to have breakfast. And what I mean by breakfast is literally I'm just talking something in my stomach when I, you know, like for acid reduction and stuff like that to try to
water
because you get nausea
Yes. So so something of that nature. So as someone that deals with gut health and stuff, does the time you eat that matters? Correct.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, because a lot of people tell me it doesn't matter, and I really believe it does because, I mean, I used to be a very bad eater because I would, you know, I was a third shift, you know, fast food's only thing open at night. What do? You go get fast food, and you go home, you go to bed, right? That's horrible for you from what I've learned.
That's very common, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people say it doesn't matter when you eat, it's what you eat. I kind of see where they're coming from, but I do also believe scheduling your meals and dieting in that way as well probably helps, especially with gut health, correct?
Yes, I think it really matters also that we all are made kind of differently too, and and this is where personalized medicine comes from. Nothing is the same for everybody across the board.
Yeah.
Like some people have different, like for instance, in Ayurveda, is really, I love the Ayurveda, because I've actually studied Ayurveda before. So I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing the Ayurveda cooking classes and the class this weekend. So there are certain body types that need fats, they need oils, and other body types that don't need any oils. Yes. They do worse with any oils.
Yeah.
So there's not one diet that fits everybody.
And speaking on that, because I've talked with him about this before, with yogurt. What's your thoughts on yogurt? Because I'm a big believer on it because of the probiotics, but what do you?
I think everyone's kind of different. I think a lot of the yogurts have so much sugar in it.
Okay,
yeah. So I yogurts think are full of crap.
Is there another alternative to yogurt for probiotics?
Yeah, well, you could do fermented foods.
Okay,
like the fermented like beet juice, for instance,
or the kombucha,
sauerkraut, kombucha.
Okay,
you know all those things. But also, even you could get plain yogurts. You can do plain yogurt and add in your own berries, your own strawberries.
If
you feel like, you know, I like how I feel on this. I've actually found that dairy, and believe me, I love dairy. Dairy is the hard thing for me to get rid of.
It's very hard for me as well.
But dairy is so inflammatory for so many people.
Yeah.
Now, I really think that it wouldn't be as inflammatory for us if we had grass-fed, happy cows.
Yes, what the cows eat.
It's what the cows
eat. See, we are what the cows eat.
And I think that we've become sensitized to dairy. So, like, I get, when I do dairy, I get dandruff, you know, I get, I've even, if I do it too much, I'll get joint pains. I get wheezy. I get wheezing.
There. Yeah, a lot of more congestion. Yep. Yeah, more mucus.
You know, so for me, that's what happens when I eat dairy.
So, does organic help, you think, or no? Because I don't know if it truly is organic.
I don't know if it's truly organic either. If you have if you get pasture raised.
Yeah.
Grass-fed,
pasture raised. So if I get milk from the actual farm, like, hey, we just got this today.
And in North Carolina, it's illegal. Now, in North Carolina, we can put whatever chemical we want to in your body, in your house, in your food, but you can't have raw milk.
What?
So it's against the law in North Carolina. So
I never knew that.
Yeah, you have to go to South Carolina to get raw milk.
What?
Legally.
Yes. That's a real thing? I had no clue.
They sell it as pet milk here in North Carolina because they cannot legally sell it to humans.
See all the rogues we have to play with, folks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's a different game. But there's also a difference between A1 cows versus A2 cows. It's there's literally, it kind of gets kind of interesting. But I have a family here. One of my former patients, she's from Dominican Republic. Both of her children need EpiPens for their dairy allergies. They'll end up in the ER if they end up exposed to dairy. Yeah. They can go to Dominican Republic and drink the milk there, no problem.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not
dairy. It's not just dairy. Yep. I have so many patients who cannot do wheat products here in the United States. They go to
GMOs.
Europe.
They're
and
GMOs.
And they're able to, like, eat pasta. They're able to eat bread in France. And so literally our food, they are killing us slowly. Like, the level of corruption that is in, it's not just the medical complex.
It's big ag.
It's big ag.
Well, big ag and pharma are directly connected.
They're directly connected. The top chemotherapy drugs are made by the same companies that make the top pesticides.
And cancer is one of the biggest money-making scams on the planet, too.
Right, literally. There's no joke. The top chemotherapy makers also make the top pesticides used. So you get into big ag, you get into basically our country is being controlled by monopolies of big corporations.
Corporate America.
They're all owned by the same person.
And we are
really
run and controlled and believe everything we're told. And everything is set up to protect those big entities from us.
I know.
And this is why we have to remember, this is why the Constitution was written as it was written, because we can protect us. And it is written for us to protect us. And we're forgetting what the Constitution actually offers us for protection. And there's so many violations of our Constitution right now that this is what we have to learn. We have to go back to history and learn what our real rights are. And we have to take our country back. And we're going to take our country back by – and I'm not political in this sense. Like, they all suck. They're all clowns. So you got to stop voting in the same people every year. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever. You got to stop voting in the same people and keeping them in there for 30, 40 years. They have no touch of reality of what the real
But
human
we've also got
needs.
To fix the election system in this country because it's corrupt.
Everything's corrupt.
Everything is driven by corporate dollars right now and corruption.
And our Congress has a different set of rules for them than compared to us.
Yeah.
They don't have the vaccine mandates. They don't have the same insurance mandates. They don't have... Nothing applies to them that applies to the average person. This is a problem.
Well, going back to the whole organic thing, though, the thing that I hate is that the organic is still run by the government. But what does the government know what's organic and what's not organic?
Depends on who they get paid off.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because there's a lot of organic
too.
Stuff.
It's like, you know, the FDA, when everybody tells me, or the agricultural side of things, you know. They say, but
USDA approved.
Yeah, USDA.
Yeah, it means like 70% might be organic. The rest of it might not be.
Like when you get a steak, it says USDA approved. Well, why is it USDA approved? And what's in that steak?
Actually, and just speaking from my personal self here, I don't believe a damn thing the government stamped on anything anywhere anymore.
Because you know that even we have different standards for our own meat versus Europe.
Yeah.
So even those factories have to slow down. They have to kill the animals more humanely to be able to produce the same meat in Europe that they do here, right? There's a different standard.
You go to, they have them here in America, but of like a Europe butcher, they get that meat differently. Like the butcher does it differently. They do it here, but they get the meat and everything transported from Europe.
Right.
And it's a completely different taste. It is. And it's a different taste because it's completely produced differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Makes you think.
Oh, no, there's so many levels of
it's
this.
Like
so
my...
But the biggest thing is actually, for those out there who can't afford everything organic, if God make it, you know, then you're probably fine. If God didn't make it, you're probably not fine. If it comes in a plastic bag or a box and God didn't make it, don't eat or drink it. If you can't pluck it out of the tree off of the earth.
That's the best way.
Kill it or milk it. Don't eat or drink it. You know?
Well, and you were talking about earlier about organics because, you know, you were talking Whole Foods, which is expensive. And
it's super expensive. Whole paycheck.
But, like, there's got to be another way to do it, affordable.
That is, buy local.
Eatwild.com. Eatwild.com
okay.
gives you local organizations, farmers that you can directly go to. You can also go to farmers markets, although be aware that certain corporations actually go in and send their stuff also there. So try to, within the farmers markets, try to go to the local farmer. That's actually how you do it.
And go make a connection with them and like
go make
talk
a connection with them.
Yeah.
Get them. And then even my house, like it's not a big garden, but I have a winter garden. You know, I have greens planted, you know, and it's like a little square foot garden.
Now I've seen Amazon start doing this as well, which I know is a big corporation,
oh
but they're doing like a whole organic thing.
All Amazon's gonna do is try to get more diverse to get your money.
Okay.
They're effective.
They're effective.
We need a competitor to Amazon.
Yeah, we do.
But especially now these days with everything being locked down or we're shortages everywhere, that's the only way we can actually get stuff sometimes is through Amazon, which is terrifying thought that we're so dependent on Amazon too to get everything. I mean, I'm guilty of the same. When you really need something, you have to go drive 30 minutes versus,
pick up your smartphone and order it.
Right. You just pick up your smartphone and order it. It's just, that's also part of the transition in this new earth that we're living in. But we can also speak with our dollars and these conversations right here, say that way, who knows, someone in this radio audience might say, you know what, you're right. Why don't I start a co-op? And this is why we, just like me, I'm trying to figure out how the heck am I supposed to build an integrative hospital? I don't know how to build a hospital, but it's going to take us, the people, to create the change.
Absolutely. It's a we thing.
We the people.
And it goes right back. I'm up against the clock here. Got a break. But it's also boils down to, like put tools in schools, nothing's going to change until industry changes it. Nothing's going to change with our health until we insist on healthier options. We the people have to insist on healthier options. And we the people, get off your television.
Get off the television. Stop watching the news. Yeah, mainstream news is just a commercial.
That's it. So, news. The nightly news, turn it off. Find another resource.
Yes.
704-227-8800. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, stream us anywhere, or go online, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, or 94.7 FM inside the Beltway. We'll be right back.
You know that chick that used to dance a lot? Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
Let's go straight to the phones, talk to Mr. Ned Yates up in Lincoln County, I do believe, some county. All right, pull him up there. Come on, let's do this. All right, Mr. Yates, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing better than most, Ray. Thank
Wonderful.
For that. I hope these questions are simple, and I apologize for my ignorance. Probably could have just typed it in on the Internet. When you look up on the website and in the medical industry, everybody has initials after their names. Figuring out the two letters behind your guest's name is MD, which I think is medical doctor. Everybody remembers that. But the other people that work, with you, some of your teammates have letters like FNP-C. Many people have a dash C. So I don't know if that means like dash certified, or are they simple things like a PA is a physician assistant.
PA is a physician's
MP,
assistant.
Like a functional nurse.
No, it's a family nurse practitioner. FNP is like family nurse practitioner. I think this, I'm not even sure what the C means. Maybe it is certified. I don't know. I never paid attention. It just has always been
there's
there.
There's an MSN.
She's a master's of science in nursing.
Oh, okay. Master's, okay. And so And so then the other lady that has a master's of science, so she's got an MSHS. So, okay, so these people are like really well educated. These aren't just like, you know.
Well, let's back up a minute. I got to expound on that a little bit.
Okay.
Education's great, especially like Mrs. Kissel, okay? She's got, oh, my God, three collective initial, no, four collective initial titles behind her name. What that one
she's
thing
at the very bottom.
One thing it does prove is she's passionate. She wants to know more stuff, right? But really, all that means nothing if the person that has that knowledge doesn't use it effectively.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
practically,
true.
Yeah.
You know, because they only know what they've been told. And there's people out there that I've met, got a lot of initials behind their names, but I wouldn't deal with them on a rainy day. You know.
But if they're in a functional atmosphere or a holistic atmosphere like they are now, that means they went and thought outside the quote box, correct? Is that
right?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you this, Ned. The lady sitting beside me here hired each and every individual you're seeing.
Well, I assumed, you know, reading about the practice that she was like, you know, not only the doctor, but the CEO know, the person that has the ink pen that says yes or no. And so good luck with what you're trying to do up in Denver. You know, I'm on the other side. I'm not in North Charlotte. I call East Lincoln North Charlotte just to be mean. I'm way out in West Lincoln. But it's very rural out here, completely
different
from East Lincoln, and you're probably familiar with that.
I am.
But good luck with that. It's encouraging to hear. You know, I knew Ray would find people, you know, good, because Ray's always looking. So I'm going to hang up because you don't know me, but Ray knows I talk too much. So I'm going to hang up on myself. And I just wish y'all a good rest of the show. Thanks for your
thank you so much for calling.
Appreciate you, Ned. Go spread some love, brother. All right, he's gone. You know, the medical arena, it has, since the early 1900s, has kind of pushed the holistic side of medicine under the rug and hide it from humanity.
And make it sound bad and evil. Yeah. Snake oil salesmen.
When actually holistic is got a lot of medical merit to it.
Right.
You know, not only from a natural point of view, from a spiritual point of view. And now we're going to, now Cammy, I've asked her to come back and she's agreed to do so. And we're going to get into the metaphysical side of things, because there's a whole different thing when you talk metaphysical, the woo-woo side to life. But it is very, very real and very effective. It's a spiritual side of medicine.
Right.
And it's a wonderful side. And I'm going to say this. I know from my 70 years on this planet, the human anatomy, the human body and mind are capable of miracles.
Yes.
Beyond your wildest comprehension.
And we've been told that it can't happen. That's the control mechanism.
Because they want you sick. Why? Because you are a dollar figure walking around. Okay, if you're sick, you're going to go spend money to be well. Well, if you go eat and you eat correctly, that's your great insurance policy. Okay, but your body and your mind are capable of healing itself. Most people look at you and think you're crazy. No, you're not. You can literally heal yourself. Now we're dealing with the medical, metaphysical side and the holistic side of life versus medicine.
Right. So holistic medicine, there's a lot of different names that circulate out there. So some people call it homeopathic medicine or holistic medicine. Homeopathic medicine is specifically related to a certain field of homeopathy, is like the little sugar pellets, you know, that's its own medicine. Integrative medicine really looks at all the different modalities that make up options. They're tools, toolboxes. So there's Ayurveda, there's homeopathy, there's acupuncture, there's other mind-body forms of medicine. There's functional medicine.
There's light therapies.
There's plant medicine. There's so many different modalities. And so within that, each person, like I had chosen functional medicine as sort of my sort of specialty. And so functional medicine for me is the future of physical medicine. Energy and spiritual medicine is the future of medicine, period. like, again, it's the divine design of our human bodies, and learning what capacity we have for healing that God created for us to heal. And
it goes beyond textbooks, okay? It
goes beyond textbooks. It's a spiritual practice, prayer, it's meditation, it's trusting in God. Now, again, it doesn't mean if I were to, like, I used monoclonal antibodies when I had COVID 2.5 weeks ago. So, but in the middle of me being having COVID, me and my boyfriend were sitting there like praying together. We had joy together. We had gratitude. Every day we practiced gratitude the whole time we had COVID. And now in the middle of that, I actually also developed a righteous anger for all the people being denied that opportunity. They were being left alone. They're being cast away alone. It's that human connection. It's that love. You know, I feel like that made me better too, not worse. If I were in fear,
love is curing.
Love is healing, right?
It's very healing.
But if you've been told I'm not going to treat you, you're going to sit there and take Tylenol and hydrate until you can't breathe anymore, until you go to the hospital where they give you remdesivir that's known to cause kidney failure and dialysis. And I don't know if you know this, but Medicare gives a 20% bonus for the use of remdesivir in the hospitals. 20% extra bonus. It's on the Medicare website.
If you want to die, get on remdesivir.
Remdesivir, right.
Yep.
So, but I had, that's the spiritual part of healing, right? So, but I used all modalities. I used nebulizers with colloidal silver. I used herbal medicines. I used vitamins. You know, I had someone send me Reiki. I had someone, I did everything. And I was 80% better in 36 hours from COVID that went straight to my lungs.
Right.
Went straight to my lungs. Now, obviously, the monoclonal antibodies helped a lot, but my attitude, all that matters.
All right. One
That's
last
holistic.
Question. You only got a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Did you take the vaccine?
Hell no.
I love it. And will you?
Over my dead body. You'd have to have me at gunpoint.
All right. There's a reason this MD said that, folks. Just take it for what it is. She's a medical doctor. Okay. She was trained and rehearsed in modern medicine, but you will not, and nor will I. So there you go.
Nor will my children.
There you go. Folks, it's wrong. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. That's all I got to say.
I support your right to get it. I support everyone else's right to get it.
You do what you want to do. You do what you want to.
I'm not here to stop you from being vaccinated.
But you ought to do the research.
Stop the mandates.
Yep. Stop the mandates. Stop this madness. It's crazy. It's genocide. It's just that simple, folks.
We're watching a very scary part of history right now.
This is tactical. It's genocide.
Psychological operations. Turn off your TV.
Yep. Not, you got cyber warfare, psychological warfare, medical, biological warfare is going on. And it's all happening, folks. We can change it together. Now, make it a great week. Thank you. Will you be back?
I will be back.
Folks, that's BentonIntegrative.com. BentonIntegrative.com. It's all there. If you want to get in touch with her, email her. She's there.
Yes.
Thank you, Cammie. I appreciate you. I really do. Now, folks, go spread some love. We'll be back next week with more About Your House. And all of you, have a great Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and spread some love. We'll see you next week.
Happiness is when you really feel